In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Oh, I don't think we do Facebook. I don't know how all that works. We'll just do this. We'll try this out. If I have not God, I have nothing. I'm sure somebody said that before I did. Most of my homilies, and just to make it very clear, are plagiarisms. They're plagiarisms. I just go out and look at the wealth out there that I borrow from all these different people and come up with something that might be relevant for us. So, if I have not God, I have nothing. The only real tragedy in life is not to be a saint. So wrote a French Catholic poet and novelist in the 19th and 20th century, Léon Bloy. The only real tragedy in life is not to be a saint. Similar to the younger son in the parable, therefore, would you and I come to our senses and return home? Two Sundays passed, the Sunday of Zacchaeus. The lesson the liturgy gave us was about desire. The church gave you and me the person of a tax collector to imitate. The theme, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And last Sunday, the Sunday of the Pharisee and the publican, the lesson was humility. But what does that really mean? The liturgy was telling us to be seized by the beauty, by the radiance, by the glory of God. So overwhelmed then by his greatness that our response is humility. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And today, the Sunday of the prodigal son, the liturgy gives you and me a follow-up to last week's lesson. Should you and I make that authentic act of humility, then similar to the father in today's parable, what happens? God comes to meet you and me, and he restores you and me to our dignity as beloved sons and daughters of his kingdom. Many people, many baptized, do not believe that, evidenced by the vast numbers of persons that have walked away from the faith. They would rather remain in the pig's sty. Indeed, they know they stink. They feel their hunger pains. They know they're not where they're supposed to be. They know the slop that they're eating in their lives is not really fulfilling. However, they've begun to believe that they're not worth anything more. That's a real human tragedy. Other baptized persons, well, they go to confession, and yet they walk away and they cling to their guilt. They do not believe the divine truth. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I am well pleased in you. Yes, one may tell lies habitually. One may steal habitually. One may gossip habitually. One may disobey habitually. One may have murdered. One may have abused. One may have denied God. How many of these and more did that younger son commit? Nevertheless, the father never defined his boy by any particular sin. The son was always a son. He always retained that dignity as a son. He was always a beloved of the father. When I was in college back in the 90s, so I was probably 20 years old at the time, I remember one of our tutors in one of our classroom discussions made this comment. She said, I think a lot of you young people in our society today, the United States, have this phrase that you hold on to. I am trash, and I know that I am trash. Versus the statement, I am loved, and I know that I am loved. And unfortunately, people who do really believe that, and a lot of people do, because that's the way they act in their lives, they don't really think they're worth more than anything. And guess what? They have children, and they pass that mentality on to their children. As beloved sons and daughters of the Father, you and I can always come home because we're worth it. In the parable, there was little difference between the elder and younger sons. Both viewed their relationship with the Father in terms of a master and slave relationship, an employer and employee. They were just two more hired hands. The Father acted differently. His was a personal relationship of love with each of his sons. They were his beloved sons. Everything that belonged to him belonged to them. Let us not, however, act like the self-righteous Pharisee depicted in last week's Sunday Gospel and think that those who walked away from the church, those are the prodigal sons in waiting. Do not think like the older son and begin to point the finger at all those who today just didn't get up or take the time to go to the divine liturgy. But you and I are here. That's the Pharisee. That's the older son. What does the liturgy tell you and me? The liturgy actually accuses you and me. In the Kadokian, at the beginning of the liturgy, near the beginning of the liturgy, we heard these words. When in my wretchedness I ran away from your fatherly love, I, not them, I squandered in wickedness the riches you have given me. And so now, like the prodigal son, I cry out to you. I have sinned in your sight, not everybody else. O merciful Father, I have sinned in your sight. Receive me now that I repent and make me as one of your hired servants. That's the prayer the church gives you and me, not to pray for other people. You and I stand before the Father as ones who squandered like the prodigal son. Similar to the younger son, you and I have run to a faraway country. That faraway country is the person who's found this world, apart from God, more comfortable, more familiar, more pleasing, to the point that, well, we like this place and we call it home. It's the person that lives more for this world, giving more time and energy to the things of this world than the cultivation of one's relationship with God. It's the baptized person who's lost a sense that he or she is in exile. Authentic repentance or genuine metanoia is not the cool, calm, recollected enumeration of particular sins and transgressions in the confessional. That's not repentance. That misses the heart of metanoia. Profound contrition, profound metanoia, is the real sense of an alienation from God, a pain that I feel in the core of my heart, the core of my being, of missing divine communion. It's easy to confess gossip. It's easy to confess anger or impatience, disorder acts of love, missed moments of prayer or maybe a Sunday liturgy. It's a rude awakening, however, to realize I'm homeless. I'm in exile. Similar to the younger son, the church in her divine liturgy is calling you and me to come to our senses, get up, and return home from your exile. If I do not have God, I rephrase now, I live in exile. And to be homeless is probably one of the greatest human tragedies. They have no place to call home. At baptism, you and I received the life of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I became sons and daughters of God the Father. On that day, we became living saints. On that day, God became our home. Now, let's return.